Well, good morning on this frigid day. Good Bible verse for cold days like this is, "This too shall pass." So one of our members, sweet girl, had brought some of her furries to church today. And so I admired them, so she gave me this one to come up here and to help me be warm while I preach. So wasn't that sweet? I'm not going to point her at anything, Miss Emma. There you go, there you go. And she brought like a whole litter of dogs. Well, thank you. So we're glad you're here, looking forward to worshiping with you and allowing God to bless us and speak to us as we worship Him today, okay? Let's do start up, as we always do, start by standing up, if you will, and shake somebody's hand, let people know you're glad that they are here, and we'll get started. It's been an interesting week for me relative to the message I want to share with you. If you live by technology, you die by technology, right? All of my messages I do on my computer have them labeled out and everything, and somehow my sermon got erased. All of my notes, everything. And I was like, God, I don't think that's funny. So, that being the case, I got them back together, but I forgot to put the verse that I wanted to read for you, so I'm going to read it like you read it. Joe, bring this up. Here's our verse for this morning. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God uses weak people like you and I, weak circumstances, to do His work. God works through people like you. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you work through people like us. We have gifts, we have talents, we have strengths, but all in all, we are weak in and of ourselves. But you chose to work through the things that are weak so people could realize that you are strong. Bless our service, work through us, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're in a series of messages called Gearing Up with God for 2024. And we've looked at a couple of different things so far. First of all, we started out by talking about how to get your vision back individually and as a church collectively, how to get your vision back. Then we talked about getting back to the basics, praying and fellowshipping and get into God's word, serving, giving. And today is the third part, the final part of that series, Getting Up with God for 2024. We're going to look at how God wants to work through you. So don't dismiss that and say, oh, he meant the person next to me or that other person. No, 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 no. Listen to me. Hear me well. You're going to hear it for the next 30 minutes. God wants to work through you. God wants to work through you. All right? I could end now, but I don't want you to miss the rest of it. But what are you going to learn through this? God wants to what? Work through. Now let's change it, me. God wants to work through. There you go. That was real enthusiastic. So we're going to talk about Noah today. Noah as an ordinary person whom God used and through whom God worked. And I want to start at the end of Noah's life, because it's there that from a human perspective, we can identify with Noah, because Noah made mistakes. Noah sinned. So I want to give you, first of all, a warning. How many of you remember Lost in Space? Remember the robot would say, warning, warning, Will Robinson. So I want to give you a warning. Here's the warning. Even godly people can be tripped up just before the finish line. Even godly people can be tripped up just before the finish line. Look at Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. I hope you have your outlines out. You can follow along as we go. In Genesis 9, 20 and 21, it says this: after the flood, Noah became a farmer and planted a vineyard. One day, he became drunk on some wine he had made, and he lay naked in his tent. Now, this is the epilogue to Noah's life. The Bible says that here was this man who lived a blameless life before God his entire life. The only man at that time as a person of faith who lived in the world. He built the ark, and after the flood, when it dried out, he had a lot of land and he planted a vineyard. He planted some grapes, he fermented them, and I guess grape wine made Noah's clothes fall off, because the Bible says he got drunk, took all of his clothes off, he made a fool of himself. And Noah, who lived perfectly when everybody else was blowing it, now he blows it. Close to the finish line, and he falters and fails. In 1908, a gentleman by the name of Durando Pieffri, he was Italian, was coming to finish the marathon in the Olympics in 2 hours, 54 minutes, 46 seconds, and literally right before the finish line, he fell and was disqualified because someone picked him up and crossed the line. All of that running, all of those miles gone, he fell. Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine running from here to Monk's Corner one way, from here to Adams Run, from here to Somerville, from here to Kiowa, from here to Rockville, approximately 26 to 30 miles, one way, and before you get to the finish line, right there, you fall down. It happens. It's happened to you. It happens to me. If Noah had never done anything wrong in his life, we'd say, oh, he's perfect. He's a Bible character that I can't relate to. Yes, you can. He faltered and failed, just like all of us. In Hebrews 11, 7, look what it says. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. He failed, yet God still worked through him. One of the questions I want to entertain this morning is this: why did God choose Noah? When God destroyed the world with a flood, archaeologists tell us there were approximately 1 million people on the earth. And Noah, I guess, really was one in a million. Why did God choose Noah? Look at 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Why did God choose Noah? Because God looked at Noah's heart, and his heart was committed to God. He was not perfect, but his heart loved God. His heart's desire was to serve God. His heart's desire was to please God. Not perfect, but he had a heart for God. I'm guessing that's how most of us feel. We're not perfect, but we have a desire to love God. We have a desire, we have a heart to serve God, to worship God, to get closer to God. That's our heart's desire. Sometimes we just falter. But God worked through Noah. Now, if you want to look into it, you can read Genesis chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9. All of those chapters talk about Noah. You can read the full story. Today, I'm going to talk about four characteristics of the type of person God uses, using Noah as our illustration. God used Noah, God worked through Noah, first of all, because Noah was available. He was available. That doesn't seem too hard. Right now, all of us are available here at church. It's not hard to be available. God looked down and he found one man that he was going to use. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. But Noah found grace, favor in the eyes of the Lord. One reason God could use Noah was because Noah was simply available. 1 million people on the earth, but God could only find one person who was available. Folks, listen, in God's eyes, availability is much more important than ability. Do you hear me? You might say, well, I can't even do much of anything really well. It doesn't matter. Availability is much more important to God than ability. You make yourself available to God, He'll wear you out in a good way. He'll work through you. Be available. You remember the story in the New Testament? Jesus used a child's lunch to feed 15,000 people because that child and his lunch were available. They didn't have anything to really offer Jesus. They were just available, and God worked through them. The story is told. It's a true story about a guy named Tony Campolo. Tony Campolo is a Christian professor of sociology back in the East, and he was invited to speak at a college in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. He drove up to the college before he was supposed to speak, and several men took him in the back room because they wanted to pray with him before he spoke. And while these men were praying, one man off the cuff prayed something like this, "And Lord, about Bert Harris. Bert Harris needs you really badly. He lives in that trailer, Lord, down the street, and he's considering leaving his wife, God. And Lord, if you could just get through to Bert Harris, that would be great. Amen." And Tony thought, well, that's kind of a little bit of strange. They brought me back here to pray there. That's a little strange. But he went out and he spoke, did a good job as he always did, finished, got in his car and started driving home. And on his way home, he picked up a hitchhiker. Now, I wouldn't do that today, but he did. I remember I went to college 8 hours away from where I lived. I picked up hitchhikers on my way to and from college. I wouldn't do it now, but I did it then because where are they going to go in my car? They can't get out. I had a free audience for like 4 or 5 hours. I could talk to them about Jesus the whole time. What are they going to do? One guy gave me an offering. Paid for some gas. So Tony Campolo has this guy. He picked up a hitchhiker. He says, well, tell me, what's your name? He said, my name is Bert Harris. Tony Campolo stopped the car, turned it around, and immediately headed in the opposite direction. And the old man said, what are you doing? He said, I'm taking you back to your wife and your family who you're trying to leave. And the man went white. He didn't say another word. They drove straight up to the guy's trailer. He said, how do you know where I live? And Tony Campolo said, God told me. And in a way, God did. The family took Tony Campolo, took the man inside. The family was put back together, the marriage restored, and God did an exciting thing. And it happened because Tony Campolo was simply available. I'm here in my car. I got room. I'm available, God. And all that. True story. True story. Folks, listen. God can use you like that, too. If you will just make your life available, God will work through you. It's simply being available. Folks, stop focusing on what you think you can't do and just make yourself available. Let God decide what you can't do. He's got plenty for you to do that you don't need to worry about what you can't do. You just make yourself available. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be amazed at the kind of people God used to do great work down here on this earth. I think we're going to realize and learned that they were just not super gifted, not super talented. They were just ordinary people with faults and fumbles, with a desire, a heart for God that said, God, I'm available. Use me. You're looking at one right now. Back in the day when I got saved, man, I was a mess. And God saved me. He turned my life around. He helped me realize things I never understood before, things like love, and compassion, and forgiveness, and heaven. And I said, God, just use me. I'm here. You don't understand how significant that is, because you say, well, you know, Kevin, you've been through training. You've got seminary degrees and all that. Yeah, well, when I was in high school and I took the SAT, my guidance counselor called me down to his office, and I thought he was going to congratulate me. He said, no one has ever scored this low on an SAT in the entire history of this high school. How did you do that? And I was like, I went to a college. The only reason I got in, it was a teeny tiny small college in Southwest Virginia, because they would have accepted anybody. I'm serious. The dean of students called me into their office the first week I was there and brought me in, and they said, well, Kevin, we're glad you're here, but I just want to tell you now, don't be too discouraged. You're probably going to make C's and D's, but we're going to get you through. And I'm like, what? You make yourself available, and God will use you. Noah was available. God used him because of his availability, and secondly, God used Noah because Noah dared to be different. He dared to be different. Genesis 6:9, it says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Underline that phrase, he was blameless among the people of his time. Morally, Noah was a man of deep conviction. He dared to be different. He wasn't afraid to stand out. He was not afraid to stand alone. He wasn't afraid of what other people thought or what other people might say. He wasn't out to win a popularity contest. At this point in the world history, society was morally bankrupt. In verses 11 and 12 in that same passage, it says there was corruption, violence, and immorality. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Some things don't change. Yet Noah was not influenced by all of those things, in spite of the fact that he lived in a terrible society. It says he was blameless among the people of his time. He was not afraid to stand alone for the things of God. Think about the criticism that Noah probably received when he was building this ark. Ridiculed from his neighbors. Noah, he's a crackpot. There's old man Noah out there building a boat. What's a boat? I don't know, but he said he's building one. They'd see him in a grocery store and picking up some laundry detergent or eggs, and they'd be whispering behind his back and laughing at him. He probably got pressure from his family. How would you like to have been one of Noah's kids, especially in the teenage years? Dad, come on, Dad. It's embarrassing. Can't you just get a real job like everybody else? Could you put up with being misunderstood and criticized year after year after year because of your convictions? Conformity is often the enemy of Christianity. Noah was not afraid to stand alone while everybody else was going to the dogs. He said, I will not participate in those things. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be available. I'm going to be different because I want to serve God. I had a heart for God, and this is what I want to do. And the Bible says he was blameless among all the people of the time. In Proverbs 29:25, the Bible says this, fear of man is a dangerous trap. If you're too concerned about what people may think of you or what people may say about you, you're going to have a hard time serving God the way he wants you to. Don't worry about what people say. We're often concerned about what people think of us or what they would say about us. You wouldn't worry that much if you realized how little they really do think about you. Don't worry about what other people think. Be concerned about what God thinks. He was available. He dared to be different. He was willing to stand out in a crowd. He had convictions by which he lived. What gave him the confidence to be different all those years? Look what the Bible says in Genesis 6:9. It says that he walked with God. I like that. Remember you taking a walk maybe with a spouse or a friend recently or some time ago, and you were just out taking a walk with that person, and you were in their presence, and it was nice, and you were talking, laughing, maybe some serious stuff, and you're just out taking a walk with that person. And that's how Noah lived. That's how God wants us to live. We just walk with God. It's not hard. You just walk with God. He had fellowship with God, a relationship with God that gave him strength to say, I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to do what I think is right. God used Noah because he was available, because he dared to be different. And number three, God used Noah because Noah followed God completely. He followed God completely. The people God uses are people who follow his directions without making excuses. In Genesis 6:22, it says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. He did everything as God commanded him. It doesn't say he did some of the things. It doesn't say he did the things he wanted to do. It doesn't say he did the things he wanted to do the way he wanted to do it. It says he did everything as God told him to. Genesis 7:5 says, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Not partial, not some of, he did it all. It was unconditional obedience. Now the project that God gave Noah to do didn't make sense on multiple levels. First of all, the Bible says that until the time of the flood, it had never rained. They had a different atmosphere back then. The way the earth was watered was a mist that came up from the ground, kind of like dew in the morning. It had never rained. Why did he need a boat? Didn't make sense. Noah's building an ark in the middle of the desert, and they're saying, why are you doing that? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? It didn't make sense. Secondly, not only had it never rained, but Noah was at least 500 miles from the largest body of water, the Mediterranean Ocean. 500 miles. He had to get an ark from where he was building it 500 miles to the water. When Libby and I go back to Baltimore to visit my family and places where I lived, it's just about 500 miles. I can't imagine getting an ark from here to Baltimore. Not on those freeways anyhow. They're just terrible. Run you over. It didn't make sense. But the greatest thing in the world that didn't make sense is, how's God going to round up all those animals? Come on. I know God created everything, but rounding up all those animals? I guess he could. I know he can. I can't explain how, but he did. The thing about Noah is he didn't argue. He didn't complain. He didn't explain it away. He said, okay, Lord, whatever you want, even if it doesn't make sense to me. One of the real tests of faith in life is, how do I follow God's will? Do I follow his instructions even when they don't make sense? Do I follow his instructions even though I may not understand all of it, or the timing of it, or the how of it? A number of you are parents, and you can probably identify with this. Maybe your kids did this. I know when my kids were growing up and I tell them to do something, they had that one word question. Why? I'm like, shut up. No, I never said that to my kids. So what you do is, hey, go do what I ask you to do, what I told you to do, and then I'll tell you why. Obedience first, and then you learn why. Noah built an ark. I'm building it. God lets him know why later. That is obedience. It wouldn't be faith if you knew everything up front, right? Then you're living by sight, not by faith. God used Noah because Noah was available. He dared to be different. He followed God completely. And number four, he never gave up. He never gave up. Noah is a key example of patience and persistence and determination. He was a hard worker. The Bible says it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. Genesis 6:3 says this. Then Jehovah said, "My spirit must not be forever be disgraced in man, wholly evil as he is. I will give him 120 years to mend his ways." This verse tells us there's a limit to God's patience. There's a limit to what God will put up with mankind. And that had happened at this point in history. And after the decision to destroy the world by a flood, God waited 120 years. Why? Because that's how long it took Noah to build the ark. 120 years. Here's the question. If you want to be used by God, could you maintain enthusiasm for a project that took that long to complete? Could you keep up your motivation? Do you think you could stay excited about things that God wanted you to do, even though it's going to take your entire life to accomplish them? And even then, maybe, you don't really know why. Now, there are a few things that are going to tempt you to give up. First of all, problems. You're going to do what God wants you to do, the way he wants you to do it, in his time, and guess what? You're going to have some problems. Problems will tempt you to give up on what God's plan is for your life. Every good idea has something wrong with it. There's nothing perfect. There were problems with Noah building the ark. Can you imagine? How do you separate the animals in the ark that like to eat each other? How do you do that? You don't put bobcats next to rabbits, right? That's a problem. You don't put birds next to the worms. That's a problem. How do you provide food for all those animals, realizing not all of them like hay? And the biggest problem, how are you going to care for the sanitation of that boat? I don't even want to think about it. Nasty. Problems will make you want to give up. And number two, pressures. Pressures will tempt you to give in before you've accomplished your goal. I'm sure Noah had thought through his mind, this is just too big for me. It's taking too long. I don't have the energy. It's too much responsibility. All of the weight of the world is on my shoulders. I can't handle it. There's pressure. Don't let pressure make you give up. And third, there are people. People will tempt you to give up. People will disappoint you. They will misunderstand you. They will criticize you. They will let you down. And that will tempt you to give up. I've had enough, God. God used Noah because he was a man of commitment. He never, never, never gave up. God wants to work through who? You, me. God wants to work through me. I've asked one of our members, Mr. Jonathan Sandifer, you know him, plays up here on the stage. Come on up, Jonathan, and even sing some now. I like that, dude. That's cool. Jonathan's going to talk to you about how God works through his life. Jonathan?
Thank you. Good morning, Grace Point. Some of you heard me share my testimony right up here 2 years ago. And if you didn't, I'd be glad to share a link to an audio file of it if you see me sometime. But the short version is this. I had strayed from God and the church for much of my adult life. Lost in my pride, I had chased the wrong things in life and ended up losing everything, including my marriage, my career, even my house. I found myself in such a dark depression and becoming a worse and worse alcoholic. Yet in the midst of the darkest point 10 years ago, God tapped me on the shoulder and gave me a touch of hope, which led me on a journey back home and closer to God. It took some time for God to right the path of this stubborn and stumbling rogue, but it has been now 6 years since my last drink. I have rebuilt a life and a career, and slowly, God has shown me that he can use even someone like me. While God was in the thick of rebuilding me several years ago, he opened a door for me to join the praise band at Crossroads before Grace Point. God seemed to be telling me at that time that he could use even me in the music of our church. But I tell you, I hesitated to listening to the voices in my head from the enemy that kept telling me that I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't a good enough musician, for one thing, but I wasn't a good enough Christian. Finally, God made it clear to me that there's no such thing as a good enough Christian, that we all fall short of the glory of God. And so through the mighty grace of God and through the loving grace shown by our pastors, Jason, Kevin, John, they let even me join the worship music in our church. And I cannot tell you how much it has meant to my life and my journey to be involved in the church and in the worship and music each Sunday. Which leads me to say that when God uses you in ministry, He also blesses you. Since that time, God has opened other doors in my path to other places where He could use even me, whether with our men's small group or the singles ministry that I'm involved in through another church, or even through sharing my testimony in the gospel through the sport of running. And it was actually through a Christian running group that I met and became friends with a couple from Virginia 3 years ago that God is using in some pretty major ways. 1 year ago, my friends Rebecca and Eric McGeorge sold their house and all their belongings, and they moved down to Guatemala to become full-time missionaries there. They run a nonprofit called Row 12 Ministries up here. That's short for Romans 12, where the Apostle Paul writes about each of us having our own different gifts we should use to serve God and the church. Row 12 primarily focuses on recruiting, training, and sending out short-term missionaries in Guatemala. They have partnered with other ministries like the Nueva Vida Church Network in Guatemala to plant churches. Their mission here is to not only go and tell, but to go, tell, and raise up so that these churches can support communities throughout the long term. They have also partnered with a ministry called Impacto that provides services through these churches to help very impoverished villages. And some of their programs include Happy Tummies, where they provide a nutritious meal to children after school each day, to children that may not have access to healthy meals or even much food at all at times. A program called Stitches in Blessings, where they teach village ladies to sew through a series of classes and equip them with a sewing machine to make clothes for their families and bring in some income. Abuelitos, where they provide engagement and activities for the elderly. Zona Cero, which is an annual youth camp, and also other programs and services, and also just sharing the gospel through each one of these programs. And now, God has opened a door for me to join a group that is going down to Guatemala for a week this summer in June, where I will be able to serve with these ministries for that week, and also explore some ways that I and possibly others could keep some involvement with some future trips and support. To give just a flavor of the local area and ministries, I do have a video here that is actually pieces of two different videos. The first part is just footage from the annual youth camp called Zona Cero, and then the second part is some footage from a mission group that went last year down to the same area in Guatemala. So I'm excited, and I'm looking forward to visiting and serving for that week in Guatemala in June, and just seeing how God might be able to use even me. And so if you are like me and you say things like, you mean God can use someone even like me? Then I say now with unwavering confidence, yes, He can. So look for those doors that God opens up. And when He does, I say, walk on through. Thanks for letting me share.
Amen. Jonathan shared this with pastors. We met with him last week, me and Jason and John. And we listened to a story. He gave us some literature to look through, and we became really excited. Really excited. If I don't look really excited, know on the inside, I'm really excited. Because for a long time, you've heard us talk about from the pulpit, one-on-one, small groups, that we love what God is doing here at Grace Point. Amen? I love coming to church. But this isn't all what God wants us to do. We reach out beyond the walls. We reach out in South Carolina. We reach out in America. And Jesus said, to the ends of the earth, places like Guatemala. This ministry that they have going on here, I got really excited about it. And I thought, maybe this is a place where God wants us as a church to focus. He's working through one person who brought this up, got a vision, and I'm like, God, this is how you work. God works through, say it with me, me. God, say it with me, really. You're not leaving until you say it with me. God works through me. Absolutely. So we're going to hear more about this, but to start, I just want you to think about two ways that you can already begin being involved in this ministry. One is prayer. You say, oh yeah, I'm a preacher, say prayer. No. Prayer. If you don't do anything else about this, you pray about this. It's the most important way that God can use us to bless that ministry there. And secondly, we're going to ask you to pray about giving to this. Jonathan's not getting there for free. And he's willing to just use all of his money. That's great. But I don't want him to. I want us to be a vested interest in the mission trip he's taking to do the work that God's calling him to do down there. The travel alone from here to there and back is $2,300. Honestly, the way this church gives, we can give that much next week. Now, when you give, don't take it out of your tithe and your offering. You keep on giving that to God, and you give more. You bring another 10, 100, you bring 500. I believe we can get that kind of money. Minimal. Maybe we go way over that. So when you go, you don't just get there, Jonathan. Maybe between the money he'll put in and we put in, maybe those ministries can expand. And God can use that. So pray. And I want you to think about what you can give. We'll take gifts next week. We'll take them the week after. But I want us to be challenged in that way. Okay? Maybe a start for our church. Who knows? Who knows? I want you to write down three more things on your outline. On the bottom of the back, you have a little bit of space there. I want you to write three things down. I want you first to write down that God wants to work through me. Literally, write that down in your outline. God wants to work through me. Then I want you to write down, God can work through me. God wants to work through me. God can work through me. And last, God will work through me. He wants to. He can. Listen to me. He will work through you. He will work through our church. He will do great and mighty things that we could never understand. Just like he did through an imperfect person named Noah. All right? Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for working through someone like Noah. Not perfect and imperfect. Just a regular guy, and you used him. You literally gave the world, humanity, a second chance because this guy said, I'll do it. I'm available. God, give us minds and hearts and a will and a desire to say to you, God, now and forever, each minute, each hour, each day that you let us live, we will say, God, I am available. Use me. Work through me. In our lives, in our families, places we work, in our church, through our church, to reach people on James Island, John's Island, all around us, even beyond the walls of this church and this community and this state and this country, God, use us to make a difference in the world. God, through preparing Jonathan, you will work through him in a great way that people will get saved, and people who are saved there will be encouraged and strengthen. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do now for through our response time, but I believe that there are decisions we need to make. Do that through us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I really never know how to do the response time because I don't know, we have maybe 85, 90 people here, and there's a good chance God spoke in 85 or 90 different ways, right? Differently to each of us. All I'm going to ask you is to respond to what God wants you to do. Now, you can come down front. You can talk. John and I will be down front this morning. You can come and talk. We'll pray with you. You go over to the cross. What a better time now than to go to the cross and say, God, I don't know about this Guatemala thing, but I'm going to pray for Jonathan. And God, open my heart, my mind about what I can do. I can pray. I can give. Maybe I can go. Fold it and put it on the cross. Lay it at the feet of Jesus and then just watch what he's going to do. I want you to be prepared in the next week or two to give to this mission. All right? I want to meet the $2,300. Okay? I think that's what God wants us to do. The pastors will lead the way. This week, we're going to talk and pray about what he wants us to do to lead the way to meet that goal. Okay? We should lead the way. We're going to do that. Now, if you want to respond, you can have communion today. The stations are around. You can give your offerings. If you want to use the envelopes, you can do that. And if you want to give us a prayer request on the back of the Connect cards in your bulletin, you can write them down here. We will pray for them. Okay? You might just want to stay where you are and sing and pray and meditate. You do what God wants you to do. All right?
Amen. All right. Kevin, what are the words? I'm trying to remember what the words were.
On screen.
Ooh, he's got it up on the screen for you. There we go. There we go. Well, again, and Jonathan, man, what a great testimony. I'll never forget the night that in the men's Bible study over here, I got to come that night, and it just kind of came up in the group. You know, we've talked and talked about going around the world in missions, and Jonathan, I think it was kind of like the Bert Harris experience, wasn't it? When in the car, you're riding with these folks and start talking about going to go out, they're down there. Anyway, so pray for that and give to it. One other thing, this is kind of a technology thing. You know, Kevin and I, that's not not our strength, you know, technology. Joe, now, he's got strength in technology. But our website has been down. Now, you may know this. You may have tried to get on there, and you haven't. It's down because a couple things. When we changed over from Crossroads and Calvary to Grace Point, and one of the ways that it has an impact might be through giving. I don't know if the giving that we've talked about, just our regular giving, may be impact. So you might want to go back and have an impacto on our giving. So go back there and check and see if you do recurring giving or giving online. You can go back and double check and make sure. Should be up this week. We're praying that they'll get that all worked out. So, I'm trying to think what else. Thank you for the ladies. We've had some folks fill in. Miss Janie has had some family issues with some losses in her family. She's been out a couple weeks. We've had folks step in the children's ministry. Thank you, folks, for doing that. And also, if you'd like to help in that way, we'd love for you to do it. All right. Jason, we got a fast song here at the end. Is this, you know, kind of fly out of here? Let's do it. All right.
Let's stand up. Everybody singing on this. One, two, three.
Well, as you fly out of here today, de-ice your cars as you go, and let's say a little prayer as we go. Lord, thank you for the joy that we feel here. We pray for this upcoming mission that will happen very soon for Jonathan and others. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And with excitement, we go out from this place today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen.